ஓம் முகம் குருதி பாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்காயதீ கிரிம் யத் கிருபா தமஹம் வந்தி பரமானந்த மாதவம். ஐ சல்யூட் கிருஷ்ணா, தி எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் சுப்ரீம் பிளஸ், த்ரூ ஹூஸ் கிரேஸ் த லேம் ஸ்கேல் மவுண்டன் அண்ட் த டாம் பிகம் இலோக்வென்ட். மே கிருஷ்ணா பி தி கைட் ஆஃப் அவர் லைஃப். ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. பீஸ் 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 பி அண்ட் ஓர். பகவத்கீதா விபூதி யோகா, தி சாப்டர் ஆன் டிவைன் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன்ஸ். பகவத்கீதா ஹேஸ் 18 சாப்டர்ஸ். ஈச் சாப்டர் இஸ் கால்ட் யோகா, மீன்ஸ் யூனியன், ஹவு டு யுனைட் ஒன் செல்ஃப் வித் காட். கிருஷ்ணா டாட் இன் தீஸ் 18 சாப்டர்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி பகவத்கீதா. The first chapter is called Vishada Yoga, chapter on grief, through pain, through suffering. People's mind go toward God. Second chapter on ultimate reality, yoga of action, yoga of knowledge, yoga of renunciation, yoga of meditation, yoga of realization. In this way, Krishna first explained the relationship between man and God. How man can experience his divine nature. Man has shortcomings, failures, weaknesses. How to overcome those weaknesses? Krishna taught Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. There are two basic human problems are delusion and fear. Man lives with fear. Insecurity. I may lose beauty, I may die, I may lose health, I may lose money, I may lose prestige, I may lose everything, my relatives, my friends, my husband, my wife. People are always fraught with fear. So Krishna taught Arjuna how to overcome fear. Second, delusion. We are deluded by Maya, cosmic illusion, which makes the right wrong, wrong right. It is a mess. So Krishna tried to show Arjuna the right way. As Christ said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So Krishna also showed a path through which a person can see the light, can experience Godhead. Now we have started this 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, Krishna said that, you see, I have already mentioned to you about my divine glory, but I love you. And for the sake of your meditation, I want to elaborate that chapter again, so that you can concentrate on me in a better way. And that is a beautiful verse. I like to repeat that verse again. On those who are ever devoted to me and worship me with love, I bestow the yoga of understanding by which they come to me. Solely out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, dispel with the shining lamp of wisdom the darkness born of ignorance. So we realize God by the grace of God. It is the Lord who lights our heart, and with that light we experience our own self, the Atman, the kingdom of heaven which is within us. Now, why did Krishna say that Paramam Vacha Puna Bhuyo Evati Bhakshami? I want to tell you more again about myself. Why? Was he not listening properly, Arjuna? Was he inattentive? No. He was very attentive. Out of mercy, he wanted to tell, Krishna wanted to tell elaborately about himself without any reservation to Arjuna. So now Arjuna is asking Krishna, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vibhum Ahustvam Rishayah Sarvei Devarshi Naradastatha Asito Devosho Devolo Vyasa Swayan Chaiva Brabishi Me. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Abode, the Supreme Holiness. All the sages have declared you to be the Eternal, Self-Luminous Person, the first of the gods, unborn and all-pervading. Likewise, have the divine sages Narada, Ashita, Devala, and Vyasa proclaimed, so too have you said unto me. Now here we find in the first four verses, Arjuna is glorifying Krishna. And the next three verses, he will surrender himself to him. Because if you want to be a good student, you must surrender yourself to your teacher, so that your teacher can give you more. You see, if you are not humble, the teacher cannot teach you. Ego is the barrier, especially in spiritual life. Now Arjuna has understood to some extent who was his charioteer. Krishna is not the charioteer of that wooden chariot. Now Arjuna understands that Krishna is the charioteer of my own life. Let me surrender myself to him. Let him guide me. Show me the way. Oh Krishna, I know you are Supreme Brahman. You are the Supreme Abode. You are the purifier. You are that highest Purusha. You said it. You only know about your own glory. I beg, please, do thou manifest thyself unto me. I love to hear more about you. If there is anything left, please tell me. I love to listen to you. You see, Arjuna is not asking Krishna out of curiosity. He wants to meditate on God. So if you know various aspects of God, which is very, very convenient for meditation, that he was looking for. Well, I know it very well, that you are beyond the mind, beyond the senses, beyond meditation. But I want to experience the infinite through my finite mind. I want to see your formless nature through your form. You see, in the 7th and 9th chapter, Krishna described about himself. But Arjuna said, at that time, I swallowed your words like medicine. I did not enjoy it, actually. I did not get time to ruminate about it, to think about it. I just swallowed whatever you said. But I now like to know in a comfortable way. Because in the 7th chapter, when you talked about yourself, I was simply dumbfounded. I did not know that you are so great. Then in the 9th chapter, when you talked about yourself, I became hungry. My hunger for God increased. But now, you see, that hunger has taken such a overwhelming shape that I cannot control myself. So I want to know more about you. And you see, the more I hear about you, the more desire comes to know about you. as a greedy person, you know, glutton, when he eats, he may eat and eat and eat, but still his desire for eating will continue. He may eat up to the throat, up to the mouth full. Still his desire for food will not go away. So I heard so many things about you. Still my desire is coming to know more about me because I love you. You see, we never get tired of listening about a person whom we love. You see, the food which we eat through our mouth to satisfy our hunger, a certain point, in a certain stage, we are completely satisfied, you know. We cannot eat anymore. But the spiritual food is unending, that Krishna says, Arjuna says. The more I eat, the more my hunger increases. Because it gives me tremendous joy, peace. Now let us explain these two verses which I read to you, verses 12 and 13. Param Brahma, Krishna Arjuna says, Param Brahma, you are the Supreme Brahman. Is there any lower Brahman? Yes. In Vedanta, Supreme Brahman means that Nirgun Brahman. And lower Brahman means Shagun Brahman, Brahman with qualities. Sattva, Raja and Tama. With these three qualities, with these three gunas, Brahman creates the cosmos, the universe and the jivas. So, this Brahman is both with form and again he is formless. Mortal and immortal, limited and unlimited, direct and indirect. Same Brahman, when it enters into the Maya, it becomes limited. But actually, it is unlimited, infinite. Then Krishna Arjuna says, Param Dhamma, you are the supreme abode. Do you know what does it mean? Whatever you see in this world are continuously vibrating because it is the domain of Maya, Prakriti. Prakriti, nature is always moving. Three gunas are never even, still. So our bodies, our minds are constantly in a flux. It is continuously moving. So there is no peace. We experience peace at the time of Samadhi, when we are one with that cosmic consciousness, one Brahman. That Arjuna said, you are the supreme abode. When we dwell in you, we get perfect peace and harmony. Pavitram, paramam pavitram bhavan. You are the supreme purifier. People go for pilgrimage, they go to the churches, they kneel down, they bow down, they pray. Those are all external purifying instruments. Real purifier is you, O Krishna, whom God looks, his darkness goes away immediately. I remember one of our epic stories. A person committed a murder and came to a sage for expiation. Please tell me, what shall I do? Then the sage, Vasishtha, was not at home. His son told that person, no, he killed a cow. So he said, all right, you chant the name of Rama three times, then there will be no more sin for you. So that man repeated Rama's name three times. And when his father returned, he said what he advised to that man who killed a cow. Then the father became angry, Vasishtha, the great sage. He said, what? You asked him to repeat the mantra thrice. You have no faith in God. If he would repeat only once, that would dispel, that would remove all of his sins. See the purifying power of the name of the Lord. Pavitram purifier. Do you know what does it mean by purifier? You see, mind becomes pure and mind becomes impure. When mind has a lot of desires, that means that mind is impure. And when the mind is desireless, that means the mind is pure. Now, the desire comes from ignorance. But when the divine light dawns in the heart of a person, his deep ignorance goes away. So he has no ignorance, no desire, no action. That person enjoys supreme bliss, peace and happiness. Arjuna said, you are the supreme purifier. The moment I get the glimpse of the Lord in my heart, darkness goes away. So desires also go away, because desires originate from that ignorance. If you can kill the mother, no children will come. So ignorance is the mother of all evil. That Arjuna said. Purusham Shashvatam, you are the eternal self, eternal God. Purusham, it is a beautiful word. Purusha means Puri Shete Iti Purusha. The being who is dwells in the Puri, Puri means city, means in the cavity of the heart. He who lives in the heart, he is called Purusha. Who? God, the kingdom of heaven. His kingdom is in the heart, within. That Arjuna said. Dibyam, you are the self-luminous one. Adi Devam, you are the original Godhead. Ajam, birthless, so you are deathless. The person who has no birth, he has no death. Vibhum, all-pervading consciousness. You are in everything, you are in every being. You see, these things I heard from the sages. Narada, Ashita, Devala, Vyasa, these are all great illumined souls of Vedanta. They told about your divine nature. But now today you are talking the same thing, so I believe it. You are writing, you are saying the same thing. Rishaya, do you know what does it mean by Rishi? Rishi means mantra drashtara, the seers of truth, they see the mantra. If you read the Vedas, you will find most of the mantras are written in this way. Vishwamitra Rishi, Anushtup Chanda, Agni Devata, each mantra has three aspects. Rishi, the seer, who saw that mantra? That mantra was written in which meter and saying, who is the deity of that mantra? So most of the mantras, if you read in the Rig Veda and other Vedas, has three parts. The sage, who experienced that mantra, who saw the mantra was written in golden letters, then the deity, and then the meter. Svayam Chaiva Bravishime, and you yourself are telling me the same thing, same truth about your divinity. You know, I was reading that what Jesus said about it. You see, when we read the Bible, we find Jesus also was revealing his divine nature to his disciples. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Elijah just come and he is to restore all things, but I tell you that Elijah has already come and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will suffer at their hands. Because I said to you, I saw you, my Father is working still and I am working. Truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. Father has sent me. I have come in my Father's name. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do this his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. He who has sent me is true, and you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I and my Father are one. In this way, we find that Christ elaborately talked about his divine nature. Same thing we find in Sri Ramakrishna's life. He said, he who was Rama, he who was Krishna, in this very life, he is Ramakrishna. On another occasion, he said that Satchidananda came from within me and said that I am an incarnation in every age. In this way, on different occasions, Sri Ramakrishna disclosed his divinity to his disciples. Arjuna, Krishna also said the same thing. Chaitanya said, mui shei, meaning I am that. You see, we believe the evangelist, you know, if Billy Graham says something or if somebody says something, we believe. We believe in newspaper, news, you know, television things. Because those are all sensational news and, you know, books, newspaper, magazine. We believe all these things. But when we hear Christ, Buddha, Ramakrishna's direct messages, we doubt, we question. See the condition of our minds. If the Upanishad says, Tattvamasi, thou art that, you are Brahman, we do not like to believe it. Next verse. Sarvametadritang manye yang mang badashi keshava nahi te bhagavan vyakti vidur deva na danava. I hold as true all that you have said to me, O Keshava. Verily, neither the gods nor the demons, O Lord, know your manifestations. Even the gods and the demons do not know the glory, the real nature of that supreme reality, because they are in the domain of Maya. You see, don't misunderstand, here gods means that evolved souls who live in heaven, that heaven also in the domain of Maya. They have preponderance of Shatta quality. They have name, they have form. Where there is name and form, that place, that person is in the domain of Maya. Their ultimate reality is beyond name and beyond form. So even the gods and the demons and human beings do not know the glory of God, because it is very difficult to understand the ultimate reality within the Maya. But when God removes the darkness from the mind of his devotee, he sees God fully. One day Sri Ramakrishna said to his disciples, covering his face with a towel, can you see my face? No, you can't, because it is covered by the towel. That does not mean that my face does not exist. My face is there. Due to the covering, you cannot see God. Same thing. It is due to covering of ignorance, we do not see the self-luminous God, which is all-pervading, which is everywhere, who is in everything. Next verse. Swayameva atmanatmanam vettattvam purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpati. You alone know yourself through yourself, O Supreme Person, O Creator of all beings, O Lord of all beings, O God of gods, O Ruler of the world. As I told you, in the 7th and 9th chapter, Krishna mentioned about himself. There exists nothing whatever higher than I am. O Arjuna, all is strung on me as a row of gems on a thread. I am the server of waters, the radiance of the sun and moon. I am the syllable Om in all the Vedas, the sound in ether, the manliness in man. I am the sweet fragrance in earth and the brightness in fire. In all beings I am the life, and I am the austerity in ascetics. I am the strength of the strong, free from longing and attachment. I am, O Arjuna, the desire of all beings that is not contrary to Dharma. I am the goal and the support, the Lord and the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the frame. I am the origin and the dissolution, the ground, the storehouse, and the imperishable seed. I give heat. I hold back and send forth rains. I am immortality, O Arjuna, and also death. I am being. I am a non-being. In this way, Krishna told about his divinity, his various powers to Arjuna in the 7th and the 9th chapter. Now he is going to elaborate those points. He knew himself. Vikyatāramari kīna vijāniya. The Upanishad raised this question. Who can know the knower? Nobody. Who is the knower? In your body? Who knows? Body? No. Your sense organs? No, they are not the knower. Mind? No. Intellect? No. They are all matters originated from Maya. Who is the knower? Within you, yourself, your Atman, that consciousness is the knower. Who will know the consciousness? That is the question. We know the consciousness by consciousness. When the water mixes with the ocean, you know, this Mississippi water, when it mixes with the ocean, it becomes one with the ocean. At that time, this Mississippi River cannot say, I am Mississippi River. It loses its name and form. Similarly, this individual consciousness which is within you, when it merges into cosmic consciousness, it loses its name and form. It becomes one with cosmic consciousness. At that time, the knower, knowledge and knowable, meditator, meditation, and the object of meditation, all three become unified. There is no knowing. There is no knowable. There is no knower. Real knower is that consciousness, God. This aspect of Vedanta is very difficult to understand. Without meditation, without spiritual discipline, this thing is very difficult to understand, how these three become united. You see, we meditate. Here is an object of meditation, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Ramakrishna. And here is me, meditator, and I am concentrating on that object. These three become unified. I lose my own identity. I become one with that Supreme Self. It can be experienced only through meditation and spiritual discipline and at the time of samadhi. So long you have body idea, you are in the domain of Maya. You will experience diversity, multiplicity. He has no peer. He is established in his own self. Swayameva atmanatmanam vetha. Im used to quote this word quite often about Sri Ramakrishna. Only you know about yourself. Sri Ramakrishna said, a little tiny ant went to bring a sugar mountain. One particle of sugar is quite sufficient for that poor fellow. And he wanted to take the whole mountain at home. Sri Ramakrishna gave another illustration. A salt doll went to measure the depth of the ocean and it melted. His illustrations are so beautiful. You are drunk, drinking only one bottle of wine, what is the necessity of asking the grog shop that how many gallons of wine you have? You see, a 1 pound jar cannot contain 5 pounds milk. So our brains are just like, you know, 1 pound jar, and we are trying to conceive of million tons, you know, understanding. It is not possible. You may ask a question, Swami, could you tell us that how can we experience this thing, this God? What are the signs? There are two signs. They call it Shasangvedya, Parasangvedya. Parasangvedya means there are some external signs. Through that signs, you can understand this person has experienced God or not. Swami, where shall I find out those signs? Krishna described those signs in the later part of the second chapter of the Gita, where he mentioned the signs of a steady wisdom. He is desireless. He is self-contented. He is unperturbed. He is beyond the pairs of opposites. Those are the signs. Seeing, if you see those signs in that person, always remember that person has experienced. Second, Shashangvedya, he knows about himself. He tasted sugar. He knows sugar tastes sweet. Sri Ramakrishna said, he who eats radish belches radish. It is true. He will only talk about God. He will not talk about garbage, about the world. That means he is tasting and that he is sharing with others. He is enjoying that bliss and he is sharing. Come, have some from me. I have plenty. Arjuna put four adjectives before Krishna. First is Bhuto Bhavana. Means you are the creator of all beings. Bhutesha, and you are the controller of all beings. You are the Devanam Adityanam Deva Prakashaka. You are the controller, you are the creator, you are the controller, and you are the guiding force. You empower beings to move, and you are the preserver of whole cosmos. The Lord is everywhere. There is nowhere that He is not. We can never know Him through our physical senses, but for the man or woman of God, He is more real than any object of the senses can be. When Saint Francis of Assisi says he sees God, we should not think he is talking figuratively just because he saw what others did not. Similarly, when Saint Teresa of Avila says, His Majesty told me so, she is not referring to something she heard from King Philip. She did hear her king, but not with the outer ear. Sri Ramakrishna, who worshipped God as the Divine Mother, would sometimes break off in the middle of a sentence and tell his disciples, "Shh. Mother is coming. I can hear her anklets jingling." This is not hearing in the way we hear the jingling of coins or the tinkling of glasses. The Divine Mother is so real to him that he hears her in the very depths of his consciousness. In his transcendent way, Meister Eckhart says that people think they can see God the way they see a cow. Actually, Eckhart tells us we see God with the same eye with which He sees us. It is an image which I enjoy very much. Imagine peeking through a keyhole and discovering you are looking right into the eye of the Lord. We cannot know God in the usual way of knowing. The way we know the phenomenal world, He is the Atman, the Divine Self within us. And it is by identifying ourselves with this self that we realize the Lord. Next, Bhaktum arhasi asiseena divyahi atma vibhutayah याभिर् विभूतिभिर् लोकानां इमां त्वं व्याप्योतिष्ठसि कथं विद्यमहं योगिं त्वं सदा परिचिन्तयन् केषु केषुचु भावेषु चिन्तयसि भगवन् मया. You should indeed tell me in full of your divine powers, whereby you pervade all the worlds and abide in them. How may I know you, O Yogi? By constant meditation. In what various things, O Lord, are you to be contemplated by me? You see, Arjuna does not want any medium. He wants to know directly from the God of the Yogis, Yogeshwara. If you get instruction from Christ, will you go to Billy Graham or any evangelists? If you find Ramakrishna, will you come to me? Similarly, you see, Arjuna said to Krishna, that you see, I read quite a bit about the scriptures, how the sages gave instruction about meditation and spiritual disciplines and the code of conduct. But I like to hear directly from you. You see, Krishna told Arjuna elaborately how to meditate in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He gave 10 instructions about external disciplines and few instructions about internal disciplines. There he described how to meditate. Now, he got the instruction. Now, Arjuna is curious. He wants to know the object of meditation. Who would be my object? Who would be my chosen ideal? On whom shall I concentrate? That is in his mind. You see, there are so many objects of meditation. Somebody meditate on the money. Day and night they are thinking of money, 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 money. Money is God. Some people meditate on their lovers, enjoyment, food, clothing, car. And all these things are impermanent, transient things. People are foolish. They meditate on transient things and they lose them. So they get transient objects. Transient objects cannot make a person happy. So Arjuna is very intelligent. He wants to meditate on the eternal object, that is God, so that he can get peace, bliss in this life, that is in his mind. You see, in my boyhood days, I had something in mind. But if I want to study Vedanta, I shall study Vedanta from a monk, not from a pundit. There are many pundits in India, scholars, fantastic scholars. They are authorities of Vedanta, but they have no life. They teach Vedanta for money. There are scholars like your professors in the universities. They cannot inspire because they have no life. They do not practice what they are teaching. Once somebody came to Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan, the famous, you know, philosopher and who was the president of India in Karachi, and he was our guest in our Ramakrishna mission. He said that we have come to you. Please tell us something about religion, philosophy. He said, why did you come to me? Go to that monk. He will tell you about spiritual life, about Vedanta, because he is practicing. I do not practice. I teach, but I do not practice what I teach. So in my boyhood days, it was in my mind, if I study Vedanta, I shall study from a monk who practices, who applies those teachings in his life. So if you want to learn yoga, you must go to a yogi. If you want to learn chemistry, you should go to a chemist, not to me. Or if you want to learn physics, go to a physicist. If you want to know medical science, go to a doctor. Don't go to a monk that you know I have the... of course, we monks, we know everything. We pretend. Anything you say, well, you can do this, do that. You know, one of our shamis used to say, the moment a boy joins the monastery, he becomes a doctor. He speaks everything. So you see, if you want to know yoga, you must go to a yogi. If you want to know Vedanta, go to a Vedanta monk who knows the mystery of the life. Asheshena, that is a beautiful word. Bhaktum arhasi asheshena, O Krishna, you are capable to speak clearly, fully, wholly. But ordinary teachers, they do not know everything. And if I get instruction from you, my doubt will go away. If ordinary teachers, you know, say something, Lord knows, my Sri Ramakrishna says, my uncle's stable is full of cows. You know, in the stable is meant for the horses. That means he has neither cows nor horses. Sri Ramakrishna made a joke out of it. My uncle's stable is full of cows. And neither he has cows nor horses. So, you see, ordinary teachers, they teach, but your doubt will remain. But if Ramakrishna says something, if Krishna says something, if Christ says something, you will be doubtless, free from doubts in no time. That is in Arjuna's mind. Arhoshi asheshena bhaktum, you are capable to speak fully, clearly. You know, these students, when they go to school or college, they know which teacher is good. The best teacher enters the hearts of the students in no time. I remember in our training institute, when you was in after becoming a monk, you will have to stay 2 hours in the training center. Our principal Swami was a fantastic person. You will not have to prepare any class. Simply sit down. You will find something is penetrating inside you unconsciously. You cannot resist it. When you speak with all conviction, with all experience, with all power, an unbelievable person. Every Tuesday and Thursday, I used to go to him in the morning. And for 1 hour, he used to tell me only 4 verses. Every Tuesday, every Thursday, in this way, he taught me the crest jewel of discrimination of Shankara. Only 4 verses. Go and meditate on it. Whole day, meditate on it. Take those teachings one with your system. Experience it. Otherwise, you know, an ass carries a lot of sandalwood, does not get the fragrance of the sandalwood. So the scholars read and memorize a lot of books. They do not taste it. They do not know what they are doing. Moreover, if you see some mantras, teachings are all in the books, you may read it, but that will not give you conviction. Never. I sometimes give that illustration. You read Gray's Anatomy, and you read about gallbladder, and then you go and operate a patient. Will you be successful? That patient will die. Reading a book, you cannot venture. You cannot do any kind of surgery. You will have to attend your professor, your surgeon, for 100 operation cases you will have to watch. And then you will have to learn by yourself in the presence of your teacher. And slowly, slowly you will be a good surgeon. It is true. Reading a book, it will not give you conviction. It comes from the teacher. If you read the Upanishad, iti shusrumo dhiranam jinastat vyacha chakshire viddhancha viddhamcha yastat vaidhavayamsa, in the Kena Upanishad. Thus we have heard from our teachers. They empowered me. They enlightened me. And you know it is true because their lives were based on the truth. They experienced the truth. Not a single untruth comes from their lips. So I got it from my teacher. That boldness comes. That does not come from the book. Conviction does not come from the book. It may give you some little inspiration. It may develop your intellectual faculty. But that doesn't mean it will give you experience. Experience comes through personal experience, meditation. Yogin, Krishna, Arjuna addressed Krishna, Yogin, you are a yogi. You know what is in my mind. You know everything. Shada parichinta, what is that word? Yogistvam sada parichintayan. Tell me, how can I think of you constantly? You see, the more you think of God, the more all divine qualities will penetrate inside you. Je jar chinta kare, she tar satta pay, said Sri Ramakrishna. If you think all the time, you see, about ball game or about movie or any Star Wars, day and night, if you think, your mind will fly with the Star World. I saw this time, what is called? Jedi came back, that one. In Newport Beach, I was in the monastery, I said, let us go to see that movie. You know, Jedi Return, something like that, I saw that one. When I go to Los Angeles, you know, California, at that time I see some funny thing. Je jar chinta kare, she tar satta pay. If you think of these worldly things, you will get all those worldly qualities. If you think of divine things, divine being, you will get divine qualities. Sri Ramakrishna told in a very succinct way, Mon dhopa gharer kapod, mind is just like the cloth in a washerman's house. That washerman has various dyes in various buckets. If you want yellow, he will dip your cloth in the yellow tub. Blue, blue. Green, green. Red, red. He has all dye tubs in his place. So if you want divine color, put your mind in God. It will be saturated with God consciousness. Day and night you stay with worldly people, you will get worldly vibration, worldly thought. You know, this is to be practiced. It is somebody says, Swami, it is very difficult. You see, if you don't get a holy man, you are not getting any opportunity to talk about God. If you do not talk about God, your delusion will not dispel. If the delusion does not dispel, you are not going to see God. You are not going to experience the Self. So holy company is very, very necessary. Swami, where shall we get holy company all the time? Follow what your teacher says. Create an atmosphere. Shat Sangha. Shat means existence. Atman, Sangha means association. Learn how to get association of your own indwelling self, that is God. Next verse. You see, Krishna, Arjuna wants to meditate on Krishna. Do you know why? Because in the 11th chapter, he will see the cosmic form of Krishna. Here, Krishna is preparing Arjuna's mind so that he can withstand that vision, that powerful vision of Godhead. So he is preparing his mind. Already when Arjuna saw that cosmic vision, he says, my body is trembling, my mind is going to be, you know, paralyzed. Oh Krishna, please withhold your cosmic form. I cannot bear anymore. He started to pray. In the 11th chapter, we shall read those things. Now, next verse. Vistarena atmano yogam vibhutim cha janardana bhuya kathaya triptir shrinato nasti mei amritam. Tell me once more in detail, O Janardana, O Krishna, of your yoga powers and glories, for I am never filled with hearing your ambrosial words. Janardana, and you attract the minds of the devotees. You remove, you destroy the demoniacal nature. What other things, Arjuna? You give prosperity and liberation. Bhuya kathaya, tell me again. Triptirhi, and so that I can satisfy, I can get plenty of satisfaction listening to you. This man wrote, Eknath wrote a beautiful commentary on that. When you live in a royal palace, Sri Ramakrishna says, even if you are not exactly in the royal family, a little of the royalty rubs off on you as well. In India, even if a man is only the 10th foot man in a royal palace, everybody thinks of him as a glamorous figure. His address is the royal palace. Even here it is like that. There is a glamour in being a member of the White House staff. Even if all you do all day is pluck out dandelions on the president's lawn, you still work at the White House. And sometimes you even get to go inside. You may have caught a glimpse of the president's little girl and perhaps even have picked up her pen and returned it to her when she was on her way to school. It is true that the joint chiefs of staff won't even look at you, but when you go home, everyone will listen with bated breath about how you picked up Amy's pen. That is what is happening in this verse too. There is a little of the Lord's infinite glory present in all of us. And the deeper we go in our meditation, the more this glory will shine forth in our daily living. That is why when we really begin to be serious about the practice of meditation, we never become tired of hearing about the glory of God from someone who is speaking from personal experience. Like Arjuna, the more we hear, the more we want to hear, because every word inspires us to reveal more of this divinity that is within us all. Vistarena atmana yogam vibhutim. Vistarena, please tell me elaborately. You see, our beloved's face is beautiful. Eyes are beautiful, movement is beautiful, talk is beautiful, conversation is beautiful. His everything is beautiful. So God is our beloved. Arjuna is the devotee. He wants to know every aspect of God so that he can get more glimpses of his beloved. You see, if you read, this is the beauty of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. What Aim actually did in the Gospel, unbelievable. It is so helpful for the devotees to meditate on Krishna, on Ramakrishna than any other divine incarnations. He is depicting, Master is in Samadhi, he is eating, he is moving, he is sleeping, he is resting, he is talking, he is bathing. All these movements, he put it in the Gospel. So that Sri Ramakrishna is vivid to you. It is very helpful. You can visualize. That is the beauty of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. That we don't find in the Bible or any other divine incarnations. And listening is also is very important. You see, I don't have much time. When we read in the Bhagavata, Mohin Parikshit was cursed that within 7 days he would die from snake bite. He knew that curse would be true and he was going to die. He asked his minister, could you bring a person here who can speak non-stop 7 days, 7 nights about God to me? There was none except Shuka. He talked about God 7 days, 7 nights without leaving that place and talked to Parikshit, the great grandson of Arjuna, the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam consists of 18,000 verses. And when Parikshit heard the glory of God 7 days, 7 nights, he transcended body consciousness. His mind was one with God. When that snake bit Parikshit, he bit the body, not the self. Excuse me, not the Atman. So, by listening, one can attain immortality. That Bhagavatam tells us. Just listening to God, you will attain immortality. Example, life of Parikshit. Same thing, aim. Invoked the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna in that way. Tava katham ritam tapt jivanam kavi viriritam kalma shapaham shravana mangalam shri madatatam bhuvi krinanti ye bhuridha janaha. That we repeat before the gospel class. Your words are like nectar, O Lord. It brings immortality to us. Next day, Krishna will describe his divine manifestations. Now you can ask me questions. So we don't have much time. You can ask me any questions you want.
Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittor ma amritam gamaya abir abir ma yedhi Rudrayate Dakshinamukam Tenamam Pahinitam Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.